Now, do we have any more boys and girls other than who are sitting on the front row here? What would it take to get all the boys and girls up to the front rows? You know, I got something I want to show you. I'm not sure you're going to be able to see sitting too far back. You know, at the sporting events today, I understand they charge big money for front row seats. Thousands of dollars even people are willing to give for a front row seat. You know what? These front row seats, you can sit in them. It won't cost you a dime. Not even a penny. Okay, this is good. Now, who has a number they'd like to sing? We've got 47 wonderful songs. But I notice on the back, we do have songs especially for children. So you might want to keep that in mind. 8 songs especially for children. But you can choose any number you want, as long as it's not greater than 47. 40? All right, let's do 40. Jesus Loves Me. What a wonderful song to begin with today. And when we come to the chorus, we would like to do the signing. All right, that's the only part of the song I know how to sign, the chorus. So if you can sign more to the song, go ahead. But let's sign and sing at least the chorus. And so we're at number 40. Number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know. Rather than sing the chorus, let's sign the chorus. Okay? So, we want it to be all quiet when we come to the chorus, and we're going to sign instead of sing. All right? Last verse.
Jesus loves me, he will stay.
Take me.
think this mic is on, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. Who else has a number? That was a great one to begin with. Now, which one would you like?
Wide is the ocean.
Wide is the ocean. I don't believe it's on this hymn sheet, but I think we know it. So, let's all stand up. And you might like to turn to the side a little bit so you don't harm your neighbor. Wide
is the ocean.
Good. So, which one would you like? 22. All right, number 22. Do we have any extra hymn sheets handy here? This Marissa doesn't have a hymn sheet. You don't have one, do you? Okay. Here's somebody really nice. They're going to give you that one. Number 22. Well, it comes after 21.
Aha!
Okay.
The heavenly crimson will come to claim his bride.
Good singing. Now, if you have a number, just put up your hand, please. Yes. 45. And I hesitate to do this, but from now on, I think what we're going to ask is that we sing the first and last verse of the songs. And that way, we can have more people giving out songs. And we can sing more songs. All right? So, this number 45, we're going to sing the first and last verse.
Too little eyes to look, to go. Thank you.
Yes. 46. Number 46. The next song. So we have a part here for the girls. We're going to ask the girls to sing the line that says G-I-R-L-S. We'll ask the girls to sing that line all by themselves, and then the boys will ask you to sing the next line all by yourself, all right? And then we sing the rest of the song all together. Number 46. Glad says a number. Anybody else? Yeah. No?
Number one.
Number one. First and last verse. Okay.
Almost persuaded.
Yes. 33. Number 33.
Nothing either great or small, nothing sinner, no. Jesus did it all.
Yes. 44. 44. Thank you.
Into the tent
where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Still none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Bending we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. God sent his son, whosoever, said he. Then I am sure that he sent him for me. Tell it again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
I think we've got time for one more. Anybody else have a number? If not, I guess I'll be calling on Noah. He's the only one that has his hand up.
Number 42.
Okay, sorry, Noah. 42. A little child
of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ the Son of God, is then the soul receiveth salvation through his blood.
Perhaps we'll make one more appeal to any boys and girls that would like to come to the front seats. You're going to be able to see much better on the front seats. Anybody else want to come forward? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads while we pray. Father and gracious God, we thank thee that today we can gather to sing these songs about the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art inviting the children with open arms to come. And we know that many have come to thee, but perhaps there's one here today that has never yet come to Jesus. And we pray for these, any who have not accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior. We ask thee that they might be delivered from the power of sin and Satan, and that they might find joy and peace through coming to thee, Lord Jesus, trusting in thee. And so we seek help now as we open thy word. We thank thee for the ones that have come today. We know in many places there are other Sunday schools, and we just do pray that thy word might indeed find an entrance into the hearts of the children, as well as the older ones, and that salvation might be the result. So we ask all now as we thank thee for thy goodness, our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, I brought something that I would like to show. And I apologize to those that are sitting behind, because I'm sure you're not seeing this, but you're welcome to come to a front seat. Now, we've got some words up here, but some of the words are covered up. We don't see all the words. And what I'd like to speak about today, of course, I really want to talk about Jesus, because he's the important one in our lives. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't really have anything. But if you have him, you have everything. The Lord Jesus is such a wonderful Savior, and he wants to save you from your sins. And he wants to save you from the power of Satan, who is a destroyer. But you know, in the Bible, God, in a wonderful way, helps us to understand about his Son. And one way he does this is by telling us about animals. Okay? So I'm thinking about two animals in the Bible. And I'll give you some hints, because I want to see if you can tell me what these animals are. The one animal is considered a wild animal. And the other animal is considered a tame animal. I see some hands up already. Let me give you a little more hint. Then maybe I'll see some more hands up. Both of these animals start with the letter L. And both of these animals have only four letters in their name. All right. So who thinks they know what these animals are? Okay, how about you, Keila? Okay, a lion. She thinks a lion. Now let's see what's under here. You got it. A lion. Now who thinks they know what the other animal is? That was a girl. How about a boy? Noah. Not sure, eh? Would anybody? No. I'm talking animals. Anybody else have any idea what the other animal might be? Starts with an L. Would you? A lamb. You think it's lamb. Let's check it out. Lamb. You got it. Very good. Now, there's a big difference between a lion and a lamb. And I also brought something in this little bag here. Let's take a look at what we've got here. Okay. All right. You see him? So there's our lion. I wonder if I have a lamb in here. You know, I had a hard time finding a lamb. But he's in here somewhere. I think he got lost. You ever hear about a lamb that got lost?
Yeah.
We sing a song about that, don't we? Like a little wandering lamb, lost upon the hills I am. Like a shepherd, Jesus stands holding out his blessed hands. Well, here's my lamb. He's pretty small. Anyway, I'll put him right there, OK? Okay? So now we got a lion and a lamb. Well, what are we going to say next? You know, we read very much about lions in the Bible. And I suppose of all the wild beasts or undomesticated beasts, the lion is perhaps spoken of more than any other animal in the Bible. And lions are very interesting animals. You know, you look into the face of a lion, and a lion seems to be calm and collected, and even when a lion is fighting, he doesn't seem to be particularly unnerved because he just doesn't seem to be afraid. The lion is a mighty animal, and we're going to talk about a lion in a story. But before we do, I would like to say this. And I looked into 1 Kings, the first book of the Kings, and I saw how that there were lions in the temple where God lived. And there was a throne that was made, and it was raised up quite high because there was 6 steps going up to the throne. And the throne was made out of gold. And it was super fine gold. I think it was the very best gold that could be found in all of the world. And this was in Solomon's temple. Of course, it was God's temple. It was the house of God. But there was this throne with arms on either side. And guess what was beside the arms? Lions. There was 2 lions, one on this side and one on this side. Of course, they weren't alive. They were statues. But you know what? There was lions on the steps going up to the throne. There was 6 steps, and it tells us that there was 12 lions on either side, which I suppose means there was 6 lions on this side of the steps and 6 lions on this side of the steps. So that makes me think, lions are important to God. And he made those lions for a purpose, eh? Now, we know that most of the time, I suppose, in the Bible, we find that the lion is used for perhaps a destructive purpose. And even Satan is referred to as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. But I think the lion would speak to us of strength. You see this lion here?
Yeah.
He's got big paws. And I understand that a lion, with just one swipe of his paw, he can knock over a young cow and perhaps even kill it. Of course, the lion has claws in his paws. And he can bring these claws in or out. That's what he can do with his claws. Other animals can't do that, like a dog or a bear or a wolf. But a lion is special in that regard, but his paws. And something else he has, jaws. And the strength of those jaws, it's amazing. I really didn't know that much about lions. But I got interested when I was asked for this little talk to find out a little bit more about lions. And you know, a lion has powerful muscles throughout its body. And it's got a long tail, and it's got a tuft of hair right on the end of its tail. It's the only cat that has a tuft of hair on the end of its tail. And the baby lions, they like to play with that tuft. The mother swishes her tail around, and the baby lions are jumping around and trying to catch the end of her tail. Well, a muscular animal, it's got a mane. You see this hair? This grows out around the head of the lion, and it's long hair, thick hair, and it makes the lion look a lot bigger than he really is with that mane. That's what it's called, a mane. And it also helps to protect the lion if he finds himself in some kind of a fight and he takes a blow to the head. Well, this mane is going to help pad the blow. So that's interesting. So the lion would speak to us, I believe, of strength, of force, whether it be used for good or bad. And I read a story one time about two boys. They went to a zoo. And I don't think they were thinking, but they had a little dog, and they went into the big lion house, and or maybe it was a circus. I think it was a circus, I'm sorry. And there was a cage with the big lion. And they took the little dog, and they put it into the cage of the big lion. You know, the little dog, he was pretty scared. He sensed there was danger. So he ran over to the corner of the cage, the far corner. And you know, the big lion came prancing over and very majestically went over there. He sniffed the little dog. And the boys went away. And they were walking around, and they came back sometime later in the day. And you know what? They saw the big lion was sleeping in the middle of the cage. And the little dog was sleeping too. He was all rolled up between the paws of the big lion, and he was sleeping. And the boys looked, and they said, "Sir, that's my dog over there. That's my dog." And you know what the zookeeper said, or the, I guess it was the circus man? He said, "Oh, is he your dog? All right, well, I'll open the door, and you can just go get him." And you know what? The boy said, "No. Don't want to do that." Well, why? You know, that dog was there, and that lion hadn't hurt that dog. And I believe that, in a sense, he was protecting that dog. It was interesting to me how that worked at that time. And in order to get the dog back, the boy is going to have to deal with the lion. So, you know, sometimes in the Word of God, we find that lions are truly animals that they're not always bad, okay, doing bad things. But now I want to talk to you about another side of the lion. And this is where we come now to the Word of God, because really we're here today to talk about the Lord Jesus. And this story happens back in 1 Samuel. So if you got a Bible, let's look that up. Let's look up 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I might ask somebody to read a verse if they can find it in their Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, this is about a man whose name is David, a young man. And you know, David, he kept sheep. And one day, David's father asked him to go and to find out how his brothers were doing and bring him some food, some cheeses, and so on, parched corn, bread, and find out how they're doing. So David, he went at his father's bidding, and he was a shepherd, took care of sheep. And when he got where his brethren were, he found that there was a huge giant. Would anybody know the name of this giant? Yes. Goliath, exactly. He was like 9.5 feet tall. He probably touched that chandelier up there. He was so huge. And you know what? He was challenging the armies of Israel to send out a man to fight with him. He said, give me a man that I might fight with him. He was huge. And you know, everybody in Israel was scared. They were just shaking. Even the king. But when David went there, he found out this giant, he is defying the armies of Israel, which are the armies of the living God. How is it that this Goliath, who I think is a picture of Satan, is ruling the situation here? And David said, I'm going to go fight. Because David, he loved the Lord. And David knew that the Lord was for him. And he didn't like to see the Lord's honor trampled upon. So he said he would go. But Saul said, no, you're just a boy. How can you go fight this giant? Well, you know what? David then told a story. And that's the story that I had before me. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 34. Is there anybody that thinks they could read that verse for us? It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 34. Okay? I'm going to give you the mic, all right? Can you read it for us?
And David said unto Saul, thy servant, keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock.
That's very good. How about number 35? Anybody? Okay. We'll do a girl, shall we? All right. Yeah.
And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
Thank you. That was very good. Now we find the story that David told to King Saul, and David had won victories. Perhaps victories that no one else knew about in private. Now he was ready to win a victory out in public. And what victories had he won? Well, it tells us that while he was watching the sheep, there came a lion and took a lamb out of the flock. And so I suppose this lion came from his den, wherever he was living, and he's looking around. He wants something to eat. You know, lions have big appetite. I understand a lion can eat 75 pounds of meat in one meal. That's a big meal. That's a lot of quarter pounders. But the thing is, they don't then eat for quite a while. You know, their stomach gets all filled up, and then maybe it's 2 or 3 days before they have another meal. But anyway, they eat. And this lion, I believe, saw this flock of sheep. And what did he do? He didn't go pick out a big ram or a big adult sheep that's really tough, but he picked out a tender lamb. And it tells us here that he took a lamb. You know, boys and girls, now I want to tell you something about the lion. In the Bible, we read about how Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion, and he's going about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to get the children. The children. He knows that children, they believe what they're told. They're very trusting. And the fact is that most, I believe, come to Jesus and get saved when they're just young. Their hearts are tender. But Satan wants to keep a grip on you. You know, this lion, he picked up that lamb, and he was going with the lamb. I thought he probably going to take it back to his den, maybe. And just kill it and eat it. And that's what his thought, no doubt, was. But what does it tell us here? The lion came, took the lamb, and David went out after him. Now, I got something on the board. Can you tell me what David did before he went after the lion? Anybody see that? I got it right written down here. Yes. What? Oh, he prayed. Well, that's, yeah, I would think he did pray. Yeah, you know, this isn't actually written right here what he did, but I put it up there anyway. What? Yeah, he prayed. Can anybody see what I wrote up there? I don't know if you can read that. Before David went after he saw it. He saw what was happening. And he didn't turn away. Sometimes people, they turn a blind eye because they don't want to get involved in any kind of difficulty. But notice, David saw, David went after, and then David, he smoked. He smoked, which means he hit the lion hard. And I suppose maybe knocked him over. And he delivered the lamb out of the mouth of that beast that was wanting to destroy it. And you know, that lion then, I believe, just reared up and tried to overcome David. It tells us here that he rose against him, but he just caught him by his beard. And he slew him. That means he killed him. All right? Well, that little lamb must have been so thankful to be free from the lion. And I'm going to ask you a question now. What did the lamb do? All right, here we got. What did the lamb do in order to save itself from the lion? What did it do? Anybody have any idea? Well, the lamb is in the mouth of the lion, he? Yeah. He can't run The lion's running with him. All right, anybody have an idea? I see my time ran out. It's kind of hard for me to see that there. He probably tried to, get free. Well, here's what he did. All right, see that? What does that mean? The lamb didn't do anything. Zero. The lamb could not do anything to help itself, to free itself from that lion. And you know, boys and girls, what do we learn from this story? You and I are like the lamb, all right? Satan is like the lion. He has a grip on boys and girls. He wants to drag us down to hell. That's where he's going to spend eternity. He wants you to be there with him. That's an awful thought. But Jesus saw the situation, and you know, the Lord Jesus came into this world, and it tells us in Hebrews 2 that through death, he destroyed him who has the power of death. And he has delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, the Lord Jesus, by dying on the cross and giving his life as the good shepherd, give his life for the sheep, he rose again. He made Satan weak. And I'm thankful to say that many in this hall can, with assurance, say, yeah, Jesus, he forgave my sin, he saved my soul, cleansed my heart, and made me whole. And, you know, I'm sure David must have picked up that little lamb, probably put it on his shoulders, bring it back to the flock. David, a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. David could have run for his life. He could have said, well, I don't really care that much about the lamb. I got all these other sheep. Or he might have run home to his father and said, Dad, there's a lion took a sheep. Let's go get him. But no, David went, and he risked his life in order to do it. And that's the story, boys and girls. David didn't have to give up his life, but Jesus, the good shepherd, he did give up his life for the sheep. And we got one more word. Anybody know what this word is here? Noah. I got one more word under here. You want a hint? Starts with D and ends with D. What do you think? Starts with a D and ends with a D. David, that's good. I think. Checked it out. Yeah? David. Okay, boys and girls. David became between the lion and the lamb and saved the lamb from the lion's mouth. And Jesus wants to save you from the destroyer who is Satan. Well, we could have said more about this story, but our time is gone. So let's pray. And boys and girls, as we pray, if you want to be saved from the destroyer who is Satan, who has a grip on you, you just ask the Lord to save you, to come into your life, and wash your sins away in his precious blood. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved.